This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
For today, we're going to close the show with the poet Tracy K. Smith. The first poem of Smith's we published in The New Yorker was a poem about Lee Von Helm, the drummer and singer of the band, which warmed my heart. And not too many years after that, in 2017, she was named the Poet Laureate of the United States. With signs of spring beginning to creep up, at least here in the Northeast, Tracy offered to take us on a little journey near her home into the woods.
We are at my home in Princeton, New Jersey right now, and we're heading into what is known as the common land or the common wood that sits in this neighborhood, which is called the Gray Farm neighborhood. And that's my dog, who's jealous that she's not coming. And it leads out to Lake Carnegie. We're walking along like a bed of bark, this path, and there's some tree stumps that have been lined up to create like a little guide to the path. To the right, we see some of the houses that look out onto the lake. You can see the bridge up ahead, the cars going into town off to the left. One of our neighbors planted, I think, thousands of daffodil bulbs, so we'll pass those. Some people have what my kids call bamboo forests. You'll see some neighbors up here have bamboo at the back of their property, and it's just kind of this open space. I loved being a young writer in New York and having my community of people and our sense of a hunger and excitement. And then I had kids and my father died. So we left New York City and moved here. And I had a little bit of, I was anticipating having heartbreak about leaving Brooklyn, where I'd lived for so long and was so happy. And then I came here and I was like, oh my God, this is the real world. Like, there are these trees that are just electrically green. And I feel like something in me has changed as a result. Like I don't know, I feel like the trees are doing more than just giving oxygen. I think they're these old souls that kind of console in different ways. And so there's something beautiful about this as a backdrop of what feels like a new beginning, or the beginning of what comes after youth. And maybe I feel sort of consoled by the fact that the landscape just keeps going, despite all of the things that we do. That's really been the really most beautiful surprise of being here, how much silence and green space has fed the inner silence that I think most writers are seeking. I had a teacher once who, the poet Linda Gregg, who said, if you are suffering from writer's block, it's really just anxiety that's keeping you from being quiet. If you're quiet, after about 15 minutes, your mind is imaginative enough to come up with an idea to prevent boredom. And I feel it's so true. In my 20s, I couldn't write. I had so much anxiety about what people were saying, what my classmates and teachers were saying about what I was writing, that I just kind of stopped for about 9 months, which really hurt. And my strategy at that time was to take a photography class, just to be doing something creative and learning to look at things through that lens. And I think it helped bring me back to the page because I recognized something I hadn't quite articulated to myself before, which was that an image can do such amazing lyrical work, and it can free you from the need to make statements and explain. If you can just describe, a feeling can emerge that the reader can't help but participate in. And before that, I thought poems were a series of wise statements that someone who had discovered things laid out one after another. And so I was, no wonder I had writer's block. I could figure out maybe one thing that seemed genuinely interesting, and then a couple of other things that were in imitation of a wise person, and then I couldn't get past that. The first thing I want to look for is something that has to do with a bird or something natural. I feel like there's an effortless sense of clarity that I can locate in some of those types of sources. Yeah, sometimes what I know is, look, there's a deer. Several.
Oh, wow.
No matter how many times you see one, you still get that same feeling of, oh, how lucky. I'm sorry, guys, I'm bothering you. Wow, I can't believe we made it back the way we came in. This almost never happens to me when I'm by myself.
The poet Tracy K. Smith. You can find some of her poems at newyorker.com, and she has a new book about to come out called Wade in the Water.